Welcome back to Real Talk with Jules and Wiz. I'm Jules. There's Wiz. Welcome to episode 3, everybody. Today we're going to be talking about different attachment styles and how attachment styles affect relationships. There are a couple different attachment styles that we want to go over today. Attachment styles are usually patterns of how we form emotional bonds and interact in relationships. So we're going to go more in depth on that. If anyone wants to join in and talk about their attachment styles, you definitely can. I think Wiz might post an attachment style link if you guys want to take a quiz to try to figure out what yours is. As always, don't forget to subscribe to our channel. Make sure you hit the like button and leave us a voicemail on SpeakPipe. Your voicemail might be used during an episode if you want it to be, so just let us know. So, Wiz, I don't know if you want to kind of jump into it a little bit.
Hi, everyone. Today, we're going to be going over attachment styles. And I didn't know if you guys knew this, Jules. I know we were trying to touch on this earlier when we were talking, but attachment styles actually come from our mothers.
Yo, when I read that, I kind of felt like sad. Like,
yeah,
because of my like attachment style, I think that when it comes to like my kids, I don't like anyone to touch them because or like hold them or whatever. Like, I always want to be the one holding them to, like, have a good bond with them and have them always feel loved so when they grow up, they have that secure feeling. You know, mm-hmm. It definitely comes from your mom, for sure.
Like, having yeah, they really say they bond. Say that our first caregiver, which is usually our mother, sets the tone for our attachment styles and how we react in relationships throughout our whole lives. Attachment styles reflect how we behave in romantic relationships and are based on emotional connections. And basically, yeah, that primary caregiver could really set the tone of how you handle relationships throughout your whole life. If your primary caregiver made you feel safe and understood as an infant, and if they responded to you when you cried, a lot of people, they do that whole cry it out method, but that can actually cause an anxious attachment style in an adult. So, I mean, there's a lot to it. I suggest if you guys, a lot of people haven't even heard of attachment styles. So I suggest if you haven't heard about them, definitely try to take the test and learn what your attachment style is so you can understand yourself a little more and how you react to relationships. Actually, about 50% of people have a secure attachment.
Damn, 50%? I wouldn't have expected that.
That's yeah, a lot. Somebody said I'm attached to this podcast. That's awesome.
Good. Keep Welcome coming back.
Yeah, we appreciate you guys for watching. Just please remember, we love your input. We love your comments, but please remember to stay respectful of other people as well. All right. But anyways, as I was saying, so a secure adult is basically self-confident, trusting, hopeful, and they have the ability to really manage and handle conflict in a healthy way. They know how to respond to intimacy and they comfortably navigate the ups and downs of even a romantic relationship. If you've experienced confusing, frightening, or inconsistent emotional communication during infancy, if your caregiver wasn't able to consistently comfort you or respond to your needs, you're more likely to have experienced an unsuccessful or insecure attachment. And basically, these infants who grow up with this insecure attachment often grow up into adults who have difficulty understanding their own emotions and really how they feel and how to handle these feelings with other people. Sometimes feelings can become overwhelming and sometimes they could become detached because you don't really know how to handle it. An insecure attachment style, you may find it difficult to connect to others. You may find yourself shying away from intimacy, or you may be too clingy and fearful and anxious. Like, I need to track your phone. Where are you going? I know we talked about tracking in a prior episode, and that could really relate to that anxious style of a person in a relationship who's very scared and they're very insecure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So basically, these attachment styles, they can really impact and shape your relationships and how your brain develops. Jules, you said that you took the test and you got, what was it, dismissive avoidant attachment style?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, yeah. I took the test as well. I mean, I don't know if I did it correctly, but I did take it and I got fearful avoidant attachment, which I could agree with in some scenarios. It said the difference between basically a dismissive avoidant and a fearful avoidant is a person who is dismissive avoidant has a higher view of themselves and a lower view of other people around them. So they might feel very grandiose as they feel other people that around them aren't really keeping up. And a person with fearful avoidant attachment tends to have lower self-esteem, but still craves that attachment with other people. They might not feel worthy of a healthy attachment, and they respond negatively to rejection. Jules, I wanted to get more into depth about how you felt after you took that test and it showed you were a dismissive avoidant. Did you feel that you could relate to that attachment style?
I 100% feel like I could relate to it. Someone who is dismissive avoidant usually avoids closeness. We prefer to be independent, and I know in all of my relationships, I wouldn't get close to someone. Maybe because I was a little bit afraid that they would just leave at some point, because growing up, I was always just left behind. So I would never really get like attached to a specific person. Preferring my independence, I've always been this way. I mean, I would much rather handle most situations alone, so it definitely relates to me. Someone who's dismissive avoidant has defensive strategies, so they may use defensive strategies to avoid connection, such as keeping their plans private and refusing to help others. I don't fully agree with that. I actually do like to help others, especially when it comes to work, because I want them to be as successful as they possibly can be. And I like being able to watch, people grow within an industry. So I don't fully agree with that. There's also limiting relationships. They may have limit their relationships to short or casual. Most of my relationships, I do feel like, I mean, what is the average relationship when you really think about it? Is it 2 years, 4 years? For me, I mean, I would date someone for maybe a couple of years and I would feel myself just starting to shut down. Like maybe it was getting too long for me and I was afraid of the future.
Well, that happens. That could happen.
Yeah.
Do you feel that you dated other people with the same attachment style as you? Do you think that you've been with a lot of people who are dismissive in their attachment style? Or would you say that, you know, you attracted the opposite of you, which is that anxious attachment style?
No, I think that most of them have all been dismissive, aside from my husband, who I find to be secure attachment style.
Okay.
Yes. It also does say that dismissive avoidant is usually unfaithful. I strongly disagree. They sabotage relationships. So they may say sabotage a relationship, especially when things are going well, such as starting arguments or being uncommunicative. I can't say that I've tried to like sabotage a relationship ever. But I do know that in my relationships, if I am fed up with a person, I do get very – I shut down a lot. And I will start like arguments to just try to push them out or just not communicate at all. Like if they were to text me or try to call me, I would, you know, actually, I still do this. I'm so sorry, everybody, but like not text back for like hours or days. One of my close friends too, she actually lives in Jersey, and I feel so bad. I'm so sorry, girl. But she will text me, and then we'll like have this really good conversation. Then like I'll totally forget to text her back for like, I don't know, a couple of weeks to like a month, and I'll be like, hey, I'm still around. How are you? But yeah, I mean, I definitely agree with my attachment style. I think that it's 100% me. One thing, I mean, the internet is making me sound like I need to go to therapy because I keep reading shit and then it keeps saying that people with defensive avoidant attachment style should seek help.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Do you think that it's something that has been holding you back in your life with relationships? Do you think it's something that's become a problem?
No, I don't think so. Because at the end of the day, like, I'm married now. I feel like I chose the right person. I mean, I got to this great guy by having this attachment style and, you know, knowing my worth. I feel like when you have this attachment style, like, you do hold yourself to a higher standard. Like, I knew that those relationships weren't for me. I deserved better. I found one. I've got a great one. I mean, I'm married now. So, you know, this is me. This is my personality. I mean, I don't think I need to seek help. That's for sure.
Yeah, I actually read somewhere that therapy and seeking help is actually like an American thing. That I read, like, a lot of people from other countries, they see a lot of things happening and they come to America and they're like, hey, you have to get counseling for PTSD. And they're like, wait, what? Because they look at like dwelling on therapy as a barrier where being resilient, which humans are extremely resilient, could actually, bad things can make you stronger. So I know it's saying, hey, you need to go to therapy, but if you can catch yourself in certain scenarios where you are hurting somebody, I think it's wise to be able to understand your attachment style and not be able to negatively impact relationships around you. Like, hey, I know I didn't really text you back in a while. Sometimes I really, you know, value my own space and I don't really feel, you know, like texting back. That could be acceptable to really just be honest with people.
Yeah. Yeah. It does say that people with avoidant attachment styles, they feel criticized or judged a lot by loved ones. And that really does put them down a lot. And it makes them feel more like sheltered too. I mean, I don't really talk to like my family like that. I also don't talk to my biological family like that either. And I, you know, also growing up how I did, like you mentioned, it usually starts early, like when you're an infant. But also for me, I was taken from my family at a young age, around like 10, and put into the system for, you know, their own reasons. But also not having that closeness and bond growing up, being 10 years old.
What do you mean, you know? For their own reasons? Why were you pulled out? If you don't mind sharing, why did you have to move out of your home at 10?
I won't get too much into it, but my parents were really abusive and they didn't really feed us much either.
So they were showing neglect. They were neglecting you. Okay.
And yeah. Do you think it was mostly... Yeah, go ahead.
Do you think that they were neglecting you as a baby, or was this like a depression they went through later on? Like, was it ever good, or did you just, it caught up to them when you were 10?
I've always wondered that. I know my earliest memory was maybe about 4 years old. I feel like when I would say it like really first started in my mind. But I've always wondered that. I know that when I was a baby, I cried a lot. And they used to have to take me in the car and try to put me to sleep. I did feel like I had a close bond too with my mom. And maybe part of it was when that I was brought into the system at the age of 10, she just never visited me. She was never there for me. Someone that I felt like I had such a close bond with. I was always sitting on her lap. We were always listening to music. We would listen to the Beatles. Like, I would go everywhere with her. I was like her puppy. So then being taken away at 10 years old, like, I could never imagine my child being taken away at 10 years old. Like, never. That would break my own heart as a mom. Like, look at what you're doing to your child. And now look at, she grew up all defensive and everything, avoidant.
Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah. Yeah, be good parents, people. Your kids need you. What about you? What was your attachment style? I think it was fearful avoidment, right?
Yeah, so I did. I took the test and I actually got the fearful avoidant. And after doing some research and reading about that, I found it interesting because, you know, it said I have this kind of hot and cold personality. And I used to actually blame that on being a Pisces.
You blame everything on being a Pisces straight up, though. Like, you can't deny that.
So I didn't know, you know, because I was like, okay, like, this is interesting. Let me read into this. So it actually said what can cause a fearful avoidant attachment could be a fear of a caregiver, having a caregiver who had unresolved trauma, lack of stability in routine, such as being, you know, in your house alone, or maybe one of your family members or your, you know, one of your parents struggled with addiction. So it kind of gave you a rocky, like, foundation to, you know, something normal. And having a caregiver who was overly critical and didn't show much affection. These are things that I've actually dealt with in childhood. So I could see how I could have that difficulty trusting others, difficulty regulating emotions, and really given that cold and hot, meaning like when people get too close, I want to shut down because I become fearful. You know, if I let them get too close, they could hurt me. You know, some days could be really showing a lot of affection, and the next day could be completely avoiding communication. So I've noticed that in relationships for me with people who I was close to intimately, I would avoid certain topics of conversation where I would have to express that I'm upset. Because, you know, growing up too, sometimes I would have to suppress my needs because there was a lot of other chaos going around me where my needs couldn't really get attended to. So yeah, I was reading into that, and it also, you know, it said that these types of attachment styles could withdraw and shut down, just like yours, similar to that, that, you know, instead of coming together and talking, they want to say, hey, I can't talk about this right now, or we could talk about this later, or I'm fine, you know, everything's fine, I'll deal with it. So I could see that need for independency and as well as needing for closeness really conflicting throughout my life and throughout relationships, given that hot and cold, you know, scenarios.
Yeah, I definitely feel like I get that vibe from you. Just kind of like how, I don't know, you talk about relationships. And I mean, I did read too, for your type of attachment style, they're very insecure in relationships. And I wonder too, something that we have talked about is like phone tracking in relationships. If you have that insecure attachment style, you're more likely going to want to always know too, you know, where your partner is and what they're doing, and want to track them. Have you in your relationship ever gotten to that point where you've had that type of insecurity where you've needed to do something like that? Or do you know anyone that has?
Well, see, sometimes that's where I think like, okay, I understand the attachment styles and things like that, yada, yada, yada. But I also feel like a lot of the things that I felt were reflections to the people that I was dating. You know, I wasn't always in the healthiest relationship. So me being on my guard or me being hot and cold could have been a result of me reacting to my partner.
Yeah.
You know, so I think this test is interesting. And I did, you know, think, okay, how can I go forward, you know, if I'm feeling this way or that way? I think that just being mindful of the way you feel and how you handle your emotions is so important. But I also like have this fear of being too attached to labels, where I think, you know, people are very fluid and very changing. So, yeah, I could feel insecure at times, but I also feel like there could be reasons sometimes of feeling insecure when your partner could be doing certain things that make you feel insecure. For me, like, I'm not somebody that likes to share. So I'm not into my partner liking other girls' pictures on Instagram. Like, that would bother me. And that's where I found it, interesting. In our last podcast, we talked about poly and open relationships, and it really had me thinking, you know, about these types of relationships and even attachment styles. Somebody in the chat just asked, can a poly or open have a certain attachment style?
I think that someone in a poly relationship or an open relationship would need to have a secure attachment style. Mm-hmm. Because they need to have the good communication, the trust to be able mm-hmm. to have those poly relationships. So a secure attachment style, if someone like me, being avoidant, I know I wouldn't like something like mm-hmm. that. I mean, mm-hmm. I would probably see it as a reason to be able to push that person away, to be honest. I mean, mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on that?
So I feel like it would have to be a secure attachment to be able to trust your partner and trust, you know, the terms and conditions. But I also wonder if there could be some type of avoidant attachment where you can't go to that one person to fulfill every need, that you kind of have to get needs met from different people. So I wonder if that could be a part of an avoidant attachment where, you know, maybe it's even it comes in with a fear of commitment. I don't know. I've never participated in one of these relationships. I didn't do much reading up on it. But from last week, I know we had a couple in here talking about their relationship that was poly, and they seem to have high relationship satisfaction, trust, intimacy. Oh, yeah. There was very low levels of jealousy. I didn't see any jealousy coming from King Zay's partner.
No, not at all. I mean, she was sitting there listening to our podcast. She was listening to every single thing that he said, so you know that it's true. Like, she was you could hear her interacting in the background. She was giggling and everything else. So he's definitely not keeping any secrets or relationships from her. Like, she knows everything, and that's a very secure relationship. A common myth is that most people in open poly relationships have an avoidant attachment style. I don't really agree much with that. But I did also look into swinger relationships, not to like just add one on. But open poly and swinger relationships are all a little bit different in their own way. But at the end of the day, they're all, I don't know. It's hard for me to really understand the difference between open poly relationships. Like, I get it, but they're all open in my eyes.
Yeah, I think there's actually a difference between the two.
So swinging is a couple-focused style that typically involves having sex with other established couples. And then you've got poly, a style that involves having multiple committed romantic partners. And then an open relationship is a style that allows people to have sex with other partners that they're attracted to. But there are different ways to practice open relationships. For example, some poly people require a romantic commitment before having sex, while someone in an open relationship may need to exchange, like, they might not even need to exchange names. Like, they just might be like, okay, like, let's go do it type of thing.
Yeah, less of an emotional attachment. Last week we had King Zay coming in here and talking, and I think it would be a great idea to bring King Zay and his wife Marie back in the chat today, and maybe they can discuss a little bit of their relationship and how they feel their attachment styles affect their lifestyle in a poly relationship.
Yeah, and I would love to hear from her too. We definitely heard King Zay mm-hmm. Last Friday, and he does hold on, she's the main, and then he had prospects, that was the word, couldn't think of that, where, you know, he's talking to a few other people to see if, you know, they have that great emotional connection, mm-hmm. if he wants to start a relationship with them. it's just wild because I've never known anyone in a poly or an open relationship before. So it was kind of cool hearing it. And I did love hearing her in the background. So I'm really hoping that she can jump on, you know, talk about her experience and how she feels in her relationship.
Yeah, definitely.
Is there anyone on this chat who has been in an open or a poly relationship aside from King Zay? Because I would love to hear. Or something that I was reading up on too is, how soon should you let your partner know that you're interested in an open or a poly relationship?
I think
when you first start dating them.
I think right off the bat, you should be.
What does everyone think?
Yeah, what do you guys think? Is it a no for you? Are you open to it if there's certain rules, if you talk about it? What do you guys think in the chat?
I think that if someone asked me, like right now in my current relationship, if my husband asked me, I would think it was because he was cheating. And that's probably, and I would probably start pushing him away because I'm avoidant. I got that type of style, that personality. And I would really think he was cheating, because why, after all these years, are you asking me for a poly or an open relationship?
Yeah, everyone in the chat is saying no way. They're saying no, they're not doing it, that it's dirty, they're not involved.
Yeah. I read that most people will tell someone after about 2 months of being in a relationship. I feel like that's something, like, 2 months, I just wasted 2 months on you, and now I find out that you want to be in like an open relationship. No, I'm all good.
I mean, how long do you
really I'd rather know that right
know
away
somebody though.
How long does it take to know somebody? I don't know. I would want someone to tell me after like the first couple of dates.
Yeah, sometimes things change. Maybe they went into it for monogamy, but after a while, they felt different. People change.
I'm like sitting here thinking about it, but no.
You never really know somebody. Somebody said in the chat, that is true. You never really know somebody.
You never really do, because I'm not going to say it, but we've been friends for like, what? Since I was 15, you didn't even know what my real name was.
Does that even matter?
You just never really know. Have you ever known anyone besides King Zay coming on that have been in any type of open relationship? I almost feel like actually our conversation last week when we were talking about cheating and you were like, I don't want to know. I'm going to close my eyes and walk out the door. I almost feel like that's almost open relationship-ish. Like if someone's cheated and you were like, oh, like, I don't want to know about it, I don't want to hear about it, are they still going back to that person? Like, is that still cheating?
So that's the thing you have to – that's the thing that you really have to ask yourself before going to your partner with accusations of cheating. You have to ask yourself, what are you going to do? Are you going to leave? Or are you going to stay?